Well, we are in the middle, or we're in the second part of our Choices series, and we are believing that God is going to do incredible things and has already done incredible things. Last time we looked at just how many choices are available. How on earth do you make good or bad choices? What do you do when you make bad choices? How do you recover? How do you navigate that? And we started off by saying, if we can build a firm foundation, it will impact every other area of our lives. It makes sense in all other aspects. It makes even more sense when it comes to the kingdom of God and our lives. So build a foundation of love and watch how it brings transformation. Well, today we're going to go to You Are Chosen. It's Father's Day, and that's what we're celebrating here in the UK. We're celebrating our dads, but most importantly, we're celebrating our Heavenly Father, because we know He is the dad above all dads. He's just unbelievable. And He invites us, just like what the word says, Abba Father, which is the Hebrew word for this most intimate term of dad or daddy God, or just this intimate relationship that we can have. And it's remind us that we can have an intimate relationship with God. And so today I want to encourage us, we're going to go into You Have Been Chosen. Your life has been chosen. God has chosen you. So come on, we're going to pray and then we're getting into this. Lord, I thank You for all that You're doing. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Do not let us be the same any longer. Transformation, breakthrough, and let us know that we are here to change nations and we're here to change history. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I got to declare it right from the outset. You are chosen. How good is that? Chosen. Isn't it amazing to be picked? Do you remember back to school days when maybe you were picking for a team and they went boom, 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 and they're like, okay, like whoever wants the last person can have it. Maybe you were the last person. Maybe you dreaded being picked because you're like, you don't want to be picked last. In fact, I think everybody dreaded the pick because they wanted to be picked first, because it felt like if you weren't picked first, you were a loser. You were like already kind of a bit down the list because you weren't chosen first. I want to assure you that God chooses you and He picks you. And I want to fill you with confidence today. And we'll look with some scripture of what the Bible says, best-selling book in history, and how it tells you a truth better than maybe the truth that you've told yourself, or maybe what somebody else has told you, because you really are chosen. But have you ever been in that situation where you've been chosen? Maybe it's like a job and you've been waiting and hoping and praying, and then suddenly you get chosen. What an incredible feeling that is. Or university, you're waiting and you're hoping. Some guys reached out to me this week saying, pray for my results. I really want to get into the university that has chosen me. I don't want to miss out on it. Maybe you've done this with a girl before and you've said, hey, will you go out with me? And then she goes, okay, I pick you. I choose you. Okay, fair enough. Or maybe you're like me when I was in Tenerife and I'm down on one knee on sort of like a floating boaty type thing. The clock's ticking. I've got to bring this thing back. Otherwise, they're going to charge me for another hour. And I'm trying to do this thing of, will you marry me? In the midst of not losing a ring in the sea, feeling really nervous. I'm wondering, will she say no? But praise the Lord. Well, actually, Nikki did say no a few times. And I was like, what do you mean no? As in you can't believe this, or no, this is not happening. Well, the rest is history. She eventually said yes. And there was no twisted arms, but there was a few looks. And I'm like, are you for real? I'm on this boat. Say yes, or we're getting charged and I'm throwing you overboard. But she was chosen and she chose me. There's a wonderful feeling about that when you are chosen. And I want to tell you, that is a good feeling. And it's a feeling that God wants each and every one of us to experience. Unfortunately, in life, we realize that, wow, we don't get chosen an awful lot. It feels like we get rejected far more than we ever get chosen. And this is why today, in the middle of our chosen, in the middle of our decisions, choices and decision series, we've got to look at chosen. Because again, I believe if you realize that you're chosen by God, it impacts the decisions and the choices that you will make next. So there's two parts about this being chosen, and I believe it's incredible. The first one is this: what a feeling to be chosen. What an absolute feeling to be chosen. It's great and it's good. And the other aspect of being chosen, the second part, is new choices come from being chosen. In fact, it's funny, isn't it? You know, when you get chosen for something, new job, new relationship, new car, win a competition, suddenly choices that were never available before now become available. And again, that can be scary because you're like, wow, what do I do with these new choices? But it's the same with the kingdom of God. In fact, it's the same. The principle works in every aspect of our lives. Whenever we make a decision, whenever we are being chosen, whenever we step into the new part of our lives, then suddenly you find, I've got choices that I never had before. I better be wise. I better be careful. And with those choices, there comes a lot of power because it has influence on our lives. And so I just want you to think about this if you've ever been chosen by God. In fact, all of us have been chosen by God. Maybe you pondered this, thought this, and goes, have I really been chosen by God? Would he really ever pick me? I want to tell you, you have been chosen by God. Even if no one else chooses you, you've already been chosen. He's already chosen you in his love because he loves you. Not because he made you and he has to, but because he loves you, because he wants you. And he thinks you're incredible. And he moves heaven and earth because of you, because of how much he has chosen you. And in fact, I fully believe this, that every single day through creation, through the word of God, through life, God is screaming it loud and clear, I have chosen you. What an incredible God we serve. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 1:4, verse 4 to 5, 4-5. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, this is Old Testament, and it came to the prophet Jeremiah, but it's applicable to us today. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I mean, what God does for one, it's relevant for the next. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So part of this is for Nehemiah. Of course, all of it's for Nehemiah. But also, this is for us because he says, look, I've known you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. This is true for each and every one of us. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Because remember, if you're chosen, then you're chosen with purpose and with value and identity and worth. So it's not just chosen. There's so much else that goes with this. And it's very important that we realize this. Otherwise, we can go, well, I'm chosen, but what else? You know, we've got to see the full picture. And he says, I've appointed you prophet to the nation. Now, for you, it may not be a prophet to the nation, but the point is still the same. God's appointed you for significant purpose. He's appointed you for significant things. So for you, it may be a prophet. For you, it may be an evangelist. For you, it may be a teacher, a pastor, an apostle. I mean, God's got incredible roles for each and every one of us. That's just a few of them. But God has chosen you. And he doesn't just choose willy-nilly. He doesn't just choose to keep you on a shelf. He chooses you for purpose. And there is purpose on your life. But I want us to focus on this two-letter, two-phrase word here. It says, new you. You're saying to yourself, well, you're talking about chosen, but now you're saying new you. What does it mean to know you or to be new by God? Well, if we translated this right back to the original Hebrew, we would realize it goes, chosen you. Wow. He knew us. You see, when you know someone, it means you've chosen them. I mean, it'd be very hard to know someone and not have chosen them. Like, we do this all the time. I spend time with you, and I don't spend time with you because I have to. I spend time because I want you. So, in fact, I've already chosen you. And so he says, I knew you, and I've chosen you. And this is why it's so good. Can I just say this? Because God leaves no room on his side for any doubt, worry, confusion, or anything else in between. He has chosen you. And this is why he makes the first move. This is why he chooses. Because, maybe you've experienced this. You know, you're ready to be picked in line, hopefully. You're ready to get the top marks in university. You're ready to go for that new job. You're ready for that new relationship. But there is that moment of the risk of, will I be chosen or not? There's that tension of the words are just about to come out of their mouth. You're hoping they say, I choose you. But you know that they may not. They may reject you. And so it leaves a sort of void. It leaves a sort of gap. Well, here's the goodness of God. He says, I've chosen you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I want you to know before you ever existed, I chose you. I want to leave no room for error. I want to leave no room for the enemy to work. Although the enemy's still going to try to get some wiggle room, we're going to go back to the word of God and we're going to remind ourselves, I don't care what stinking lies he tells me. I don't care what stinking words people use towards me. It does not make sense compared to the word. I've been chosen before I was even ever born, which means there is no room or wiggle room for anybody else to get in and create doubt or cast out or have any real foundation. They may still do it, and you may believe it for a moment, but we know, and this is why God's so good, I've chosen you before you ever existed. Wow. When we were born, even though the Bible says we're born in sin, he's already chosen us for significant things, and really our goal is to choose him back. That's the heart of the message of the gospel. Will we choose him back? Will we say yes in return. He's already said yes to us. He's that incredible guy who meets the girl and he's already declaring his cards on the table. He's already declaring his full heart. I love you, I love you, I love you. Hey, I really hope that you love me back. And he means it. It's not just blasé. It's not just, I hope, if not, I'll get somebody else's. No. He says, I've laid down my life. I fully demonstrate in every area how much I love you. I'm dreaming and praying. And it's my deepest desire that you would say yes back to me. That's the journey of every person as we come to faith. God leaves no room. And I want us to imagine this because everything else in our world is so conditional. And this is why I believe this word is so important for us today when it comes to our job. I mean, you know what, when it comes to your job, you maybe had that incredible adulation when you got chosen for your job. And then comes that horrible day whenever they de-choose you. It's not, I mean, is that even a word? But you know, when they find somebody else and then they go, look, it's just business. Somebody better came along. There was a better option. We don't need you any longer. I mean, what a horrible feeling to be chosen at one moment and then rejected the next. I mean, this is a different kind of chosen because it's a chosen based on conditions, whereas God says, I've chosen you before you ever existed. It's all about me, not about you. This is how good our God is. Or maybe it's relationships. I mean, when we think about a job, it feels like it's always about performance. When it comes to our relationships, a lot of our relationships now, it seems like they're always about perfection. Like if you're not good enough to me, if you're not almost perfect to me, if I can't trust you all the way through, then this thing's over. But can we just be real and just talk about the elephant in the room? If it's in your room, if not, it's in this room. Who can you trust? I can't even trust me. The only person that I know that I can trust beyond a shadow of a doubt is God himself, because he gives me no room for doubt. He has chosen me before even the foundations of the world. He has chosen me before I was ever in existence. That's how good his love is towards us. And then we come to family. And sometimes we say to ourselves, okay, well, look, even our families, it's just obligation. You wouldn't love me, only you have to because we're family. You can't get rid of me. It would be illegal or whatever other reasons we get inside of our heads. And it may not be truth, but this is what we start to believe. They would replace me if they could. They don't really want me. If somebody else better came along, they would have them instead. I have been there. I know what that feels like. I used to believe that lie. I remember one stage where I was like 18, 19, believing lies like that. And I realized how silly it was. And then God redeemed it. And he was able to blast me out of that silly idea. But right now in our world, it feels like chosen is connected too much to performance, too much to perfection, and too much to obligation. And God says, forget all of that. I base it on me. I take you on before I even see what you're up to, before I even see or reveal your heart, I'm already taking you on because I love you. You're absolutely incredible. You see, is it any wonder, even whenever we get this idea of, do you want something free? We go, yeah, but what's the catch? I mean, I think today more than ever, when things are free, we leave them. Because we say to ourselves, what you want is our data. What you want is my details. What you want is to exploit me somehow. You see, in every aspect, it feels like we're just being taken advantage of. And so even when it comes to the kingdom of God, that can infiltrate and we go, okay, well, it's good that God chooses me, but what good is that for me? And I tell you what, it is far better than you know. The problem is not God has chosen you. The problem is everybody else thinks they've chosen you, or you feel they have chosen you, or maybe they've even told you they've chosen you. But it's been so riddled with holes and doubts that you're anxious continuously because you just know even free doesn't mean free. It even gets you nervous. It even gets you anxious. I want to tell you that God says that you are incredible. He has chosen you. He is never going to reject you. He's never going to say, uh-oh, I find somebody else. No, he chooses you over and over and over again. And he keeps saying it from the rooftops to the valleys to every place you want to find him. I love you. I'm for you. I've chosen you. We've got to know this today. If we do, it affects our choices. It affects how we move in the future. You see, God chose us. He wanted to, he loves us, and he has left no room for doubt. Here's what it says in John 15:15. We love this whole chapter really in vibe. We keep drilling back into it, but it's just so loaded with good truth for today. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. Now you are my friends since I told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I mean, that's not an offensive thing. That's an incredible thing. You didn't choose me. I chose you. In other words, I chose you first. I made a way where there was no way. I put my colors to the mast. I told everybody. I wrote it in a book. I told it from my son coming from heaven to earth. I did it with my blood. I presented myself on the cross. I wanted you to know beyond any doubt, no matter what anybody would say, it would be evidential, it would be words, it would be emotions, it would be feelings, it would be spiritual, that I have chosen you. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. I wanted you to know that if you choose me, I've already chosen you. Wow, how good is that? How good is that? I appointed you to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. You see, what I love about this tiny passage of scripture, or these tiny portions of scripture, is not only that he has chosen us first before we ever even realized that we could choose him, but then he uses this phrase of friends. And you say to yourself, well, what do you mean by friends? Well, I think, again, God's just trying to underline a fine detail here. Because you can't pick your work colleagues. It just is what it is when you sign up to the job. You can't pick your family. It is what it is. You're just born into that family. But your friends, you absolutely choose them, or at least you should. If you haven't chosen your friends, be wise, because they've chosen you for some reason. Why are you not choosing them? Be wise. We have a full choice on our friends. We have a full choice on our friends. And so what God's saying here is, I'm not trying to undermine by saying you're not a work colleague, or you're, you know, because at least work colleagues, they get paid. And I'm not saying that you're not a family member, because that would be important. He says, no, I'm bringing a further aspect to the chosen idea. I call you friend. I picked you because I wanted to. I picked you because I love you. I picked you just like a friend picks a friend. It's like there's something about you. There's a connection. I love you. I want to be with you. If it was a work colleague, I've got no choice. If it was a family member, I've got no choice. But when it comes to a friend, it's all about choice. God says, I activated my choice to be friends with you. I want to be friends with you. I love you. God is declaring it over and over and over again. We are chosen people. And there's three quick aspects: salvation, friendship, and fruitfulness. Wow. Not only does he call us to salvation, not only has he chosen us for salvation, he's chosen us for friendship because he loves us and he wants to spend time with us. And then he's chosen us for fruitfulness because we have purpose and value, and we are here for significant things because God calls significant things. And when he calls us, he makes us significant. And the presence of God and the power of God is available for our lives, just like we looked at a few weeks ago when it comes to the Holy Spirit. He's saying over and over again, I picked you. This is the Father's heart. It wasn't based on you and what you could do or what you can't do, or will you be good enough, or do you know all that performance stuff, like if you're good, you're good, if you're bad, you're bad. So no, I choose you, I pick you. This wasn't based on me, and I picked you first. And if we don't know this, this is what's going to happen. This way, this is so important. If we don't know this, and maybe this is the position you find yourself in, if we don't know this, we'll spend our whole Christian lives trying to get chosen. Wow. If we don't know this, we'll spend the rest of our whole Christian lives trying to get God to pick us. And he's already chosen us. He's already has. And why does this happen? Because we're triggered by previous memories. We're triggered by previous relationships. We have a faulty view of God because of a faulty view of somebody else, or not even a faulty view, a real view of somebody else because of how they spent time with us. They dealt with us. They interacted with us. It was always transactional. It was always based on performance. It was always about the deal rather than chosen and being friends and unconditional. And God says, you could waste a lifetime trying to get me to pick you when I've already picked you. See, sometimes what we do is, when it comes to the things of God, don't we? We say to ourselves, I'm trying to be better, trying to get better at this Christian thing. Wow, he knows what you mean. But is it that you're trying to get better because you want God to love you more? Or is it you're trying to get better because you know that you're loved, and through God's love, you just naturally want to be better? Because you want to exercise the faith that he's given you. You want to step into all the full plans that he has for you. It's very subtle, but it's very important. Maybe it's like, I'm worried he won't want me. I'm worried that he doesn't really want me. I'm anxious. I'm worried that he just has to. Again, we go back into obligation. I tell you, he didn't have to do anything. He did it because he loves you. He's only ever been moved by love. Think about that. He's only ever been moved by love, and you moved his heart because he wanted it to be moved. Wow. And he has great plans for your life. Or maybe you say to yourself, I'm anxious. Am I even saved or not? Come on, he's already chosen you. If you've said yes to him, that's it. That's it. I mean, could we even, because of his great love, he never lets us go. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Or maybe you're just living in fear rather than living in love. This is real. I mean, maybe you're just living with the fear of this and the fear of what will this happen. I talk to people all the time and they're just so fearful. They don't even see it. It's just part of their language. It's like, well, what if this happens? You don't know what could happen. You don't know what's around the corner. No, I don't. But I know who has my life. I know that I've been chosen. I know that even if I don't exist in this world, I exist forever in his world. I mean, he never leaves me, never forsakes me. So look, I'm not going to be unwise, but I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in nerves because I know what God has done for me. Here's what God says. Isaiah 43 verse 1. It says, but now, O Jacob, again, Old Testament character, but it becomes applicable to us. Listen to the word to the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, saying, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you and I have called you by name. You are mine. Wow. You are mine. This is what he says. I have chosen you and you are mine. Wow. And everything I have is yours. Everything. This is why Jesus said when he's about to leave, I'm going, but it's to your advantage because the Holy Spirit's come and you're going to do greater things than me. Why? Because he's given us. He's given us all that we need. Everything's right there. I've chosen you and you're mine and everything I have is yours. Receive it by faith. Receive it. How many people spend their whole lives trying to find purpose, identity, and who they really are because they just don't understand how chosen they are. Even Christians do this sometimes. Maybe you've done this sometimes before. I mean, you belong to God. I mean, everybody does. We just don't realize it, but we all belong to God. This is what he has called us for. This is what his desire is. This is what he's chosen us for. No one is by mistake. No one is without divine purpose. No one is worthless or by accident or pointless. And this is what makes it all the more sad whenever we don't realize how much he's chosen us and we never choose him back. And if we don't choose him back, if we don't say, God, I make you my Lord, if we don't ask for forgiveness, if we don't choose him back, then we never inherit the full kingdom that God has already planned for us before the foundations of the world. He's chosen us over and over and over again. And every single day, it gets better. God's saying, you're mine. And I've given you identity. I've given you purpose. And I've given you belonging. Here's 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Wow. Again, this is Paul speaking about the Jews, and he's saying, Jews, you've got to realize you are his chosen people. He's got incredible plans for you. Don't miss the goodness of God. Don't miss your Savior. Don't miss Jesus. But he also is speaking in the time that hasn't happened yet. He's also speaking in the future. And he's speaking to us loud and clear today. You are my chosen people. You are a royal priesthood because you have royal blood in your veins. You are a holy nation. You are a prized possession, a special possession. You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. So what do we do with this reality? Well, I tell you what, we got to live different. And in fact, you can't live the same. When you realize you've been chosen, something happens. I mean, you see it all the time. When people get into good friend circles, their life changes. When people get married, they act differently. They talk differently. Hopefully they stay away. If they were a boy, they stay away from girls and other relationships, or, you know, vice versa. If they were of the opposite sex, then they would stay away. You know, we make a commitment. There's something happens in our lives. You know, we no longer seek a life partner. We've got them. We no longer do the things we used to do. We maybe stop hanging out with the lads just as much because we need to commit to our new relationship. We need to commit to our new family. You get kids, it all changes again. Selfishness goes out the window when it comes to relationships. In fact, when it comes to choosing things, we're usually saying no to selfishness. We're usually saying no to me because I got to make room for you, for the purposes of what we're talking about, people, other people choosing. So we live differently. We make different choices. This is so important. I mean, when you get chosen or when you choose someone, you make different choices. Again, you're not going to be phoning up other girls to ask them out. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense. Otherwise, you want to be unchosen. You want to be like unselected. You want to get, you're going the right way about it. Keep going that way. I mean, it just wouldn't be what we do as Christians. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like we've made a commitment. I'm going to love you to death, do us part. God's made a commitment to you. If you make a commitment to him, then all of your choices become effective. And it might be slow, you know, at the start. Some of us, it means it can be easy to go and tell someone you're doing this wrong, that wrong, and there's something else wrong. But it's amazing how the Holy Spirit begins to direct our lives. The Holy Spirit begins to challenge us. And what we used to do, we stop doing just as much. We're not really doing that thing anymore. We're not really going there anymore. We're not really talking the same. Everything about us starts to change. And we've got God's help as well, which is so important. Number one, we've got the Bible and the wisdom that comes. And then we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so now with God's help, here's the choices we've got to make. I want to wrap up in just a few moments, but here's what it says in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow. So now we have fresh choices, but I want you to realize this. Just because we've chosen God doesn't mean that these automatically flow from our lives. We then have to make the choices again, not to choose Jesus, but to choose to live like Jesus and go, okay, I'm after compassion. I'm after kindness. This is a goal of my life. I want to bring humility. I want to live in this way. I want to be full of gentleness. I want to bring patience to the people around me. And is it interesting, this word clothes? Because it uses clothe yourself. See, clothes represent our personalities. They represent our style, our thoughts. You see some people and they wear incredible things. Maybe it's like something really bright and flamboyant. Well, then you know that person's trying to tell you, this is who I am. This is my personality. This is what I'm about. I mean, clothes are a really fun, interesting thing, depending on what people wear, depending on the clothes, the footwear, the t-shirts, the whatever. I mean, it tells you something about that person. But here's what it's really showing. It's showing something on the inside, on the outside. So, your personality, your ideas, your style, that's all inwardly, but it's being expressed outwardly in your clothes. And God's saying the same, or Paul's writing through from God, the same thing. I want you to realize, guys, that I've chosen you. And so as a result, I need you to choose to live in a different way. I need you to choose to clothe yourself. And clothes are an interesting thing, aren't they? Because chances are you wear them every day. Otherwise, get a bit weird. And so you put your clothes on every day. And so Paul uses this word because he's trying to remind people, you got to do something about this. You get up every morning, unless you wear the clothes from the night before. And even at some point, you're going to have to change your clothes because they're going to get smelly. They're going to get dirty. They're going to get whatever. You got to change your clothes. And so you get up every day and you prepare yourself and you get your clothes on. And you do it. It's practical. You feel it. It represents you. You and then you go out about your day. Paul's saying the same thing. I need us to think like this, guys. I need us to think every single day that we would clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There are just some this time. There's many more attributes of a Christian, many more things that God's called us to. But these are the choices we have to make. And these choices will directly impact how people see us, perceive us, and how we interact with the world around us. And I tell you what, like we are talking about Father's Day today, this will have an incredible effect on the people around us because it will bring change to their lives. Jesus lived like this, and the world has never been the same. Clothes are a reflection of us. I mean, you could study to be a doctor, and eventually one day you'll put on the white gown. This is what you need when it comes to the ward. Teachers, I mean, you're going to train for a long time, and then eventually you get that kind of teacher outfitty style going on because you're a teacher. Represents what you're about. Footballer, they get their kit on. Farmers, they get their welling boots on, you know, and we can keep going on and on and on. But there's an important point to make here as well, while we're talking about clothes representing. The clothes only represent what's happened on the inside. If we did the clothes first without the inside change, well, then it's just fancy dress. You know what I mean? Then it's just dress up. Then it's just make believe. I mean, I can put on, let's be real. I can put on like a police officer's uniform, but if that's not who I am, if that's not me, if I'm not trained, if I'm not qualified, if I'm not signed up, it's just fancy dress. It's just funny. You know, it's not serious. It's not real. And God's saying the same for us. It's like, I have done an inward change for you, But you can't just be kind and gentle and generous. You need the presence of God. You need the goodness of God. In fact, even as Christians, if we try to do it in our own strength, it's like doing it without our source. It's like doing it in our own way. And it's like our own ways are just, they're not that good. Come on, let's be real. But this inside work has happened. And so therefore it gets affected on the outside and you'll see it. And when you walk around, could you imagine this? When we just walk around and people go, wow, that person is just so full of compassion and love and generosity. You just see it all over them. What they're meaning is that they can see that you're clothed with this. They can see the presence of God in you. They can see this metaphorical clothing is on you. This gentleness, this kindness, this compassion, this goodness of God. Clothes are a metaphor for choices. And we have God's power to make better choices now because of the work that God has done in our lives. So we need to put on. Clothe yourself. Make a choice to live like this. Compassion. I mean, compassion basically means is that we start to see other people's sufferings and we go, I see what you're going through there. I want to come around you. That's compassion. Come on, this is what it looks like when we clothe ourselves with compassion. It leads to something. It gets us to a place where we literally are like the people on the roads, and we see we're like the Good Samaritan with the man just lying at the side of the road and we help. Or we're like Jesus and we see the 5,000 and we have compassion on them. And so we help them and we go out of our way. We show compassion. Their feelings become our feelings. We start to get affected by their lives and it moves us. Kindness. I mean, we're showing care. It's not just like, I think you're great or I'm praying for you. It's like we actually show the care. We actually get into the mess. It costs us time. We sacrifice. We're in right there because we're choosing to make these decisions. We're clothing ourselves. And it's not just clothing ourselves. We're actually being the person we're supposed to be. Because again, if I'm a policeman or a doctor or a teacher and I clothe myself in the right stuff, but actually don't do it, then again, it's just fancy dress. It's just playing fun. It's just having a laugh. It's just dress up. It's not real. No. It's an inside thing, which means we put on the right clothes. But when we put on the right clothes, there's an expectation. You know, like if we were going down the street and someone saw us as a doctor or they saw us as a police officer or they saw us as someone we were the right person for their job, they go, we need your help. It's like, we've got an issue going on. Can you help? People will actually demand it from us as well. They did this to Jesus all the time. It's like, Master, 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 can you come help? Jesus, 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 can you come? My daughter's not well. Can you come raise somebody from the dead? Can you come open some blind eyes? I mean, they could see it. Jesus was clothed with goodness and kindness and compassion and all the good things of God. And so demands were put on him, but he was able to meet them because of the power of the Spirit, humility. I mean, can we just say that humility only works from inside out? I mean, it's always a heart thing. I mean, we can do it and we can look the part and we can play the role and we can have the right actions in place. But if it's not from the heart, wow, you just know. It might have helped something, but it won't have long-lasting help. It won't make the difference long-term. Gentleness, patience. See, we have the strength, we have his power, we have his help. And so today it's Father's Day. And so just like our Father in heaven, just like our God in heaven, he has already demonstrated these things. And he said, I want you to go for this too. And so I'm going to finish with a challenge. And I want to speak to our dads. Come on, I want to speak to the man. Come on, maybe you're not a dad yet, but the chances are you may become a dad in the future. I want to speak to the man. And I want to speak three things, and I've written them down today. I want to challenge our hearts, guys. I want to challenge the man. And hey, of course, if you're a woman, you can receive this too. But I want to speak to our man and I want to just challenge our hearts because you know what? We need our man on a day like Father's Day to really start to push through and to really step up into what God's called us to. Come on. He's got good stuff for us. And number one is I want to call us out from the shadows. You know, for some of us as men, we're in the shadows because, you know, we just find ourselves in the background. We find ourselves in the shadow. We're not even sure how we got here, but we find ourselves in the shadows. I want to say, come on, let's walk forward in Jesus' name. He's got you. He's for you. He's chosen you. You're loved. Be real about this. Embrace that. Know that he's got you. Number two, busyness. Can we just speak into this one? You know, for some of us, we're busy not because of choice, but because we think we have to be. Because without busyness, how would anybody see us as worthy? Without busyness, how will anybody see us as making the grade or making the point? And so we keep ourselves busy, or we're busy because of feelings, or we're busy because of hurt, or we're busy because of pain. Can I just tell you, let's come away from busyness. We don't have to be busy all the time. God is busy for us. God is providing for us. Trust him. We need men that's able to step away from the busyness of times. Come on, I know that we're all busy, but we need men that will step away from the busyness and step into the role that Jesus demonstrated with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Sometimes when you get busy, you got no time to be compassionate. Sometimes you get busy, this kindness thing is overrated. Sometimes you get busy, you're like, come on, I don't got time for humility. When you get busy, gentleness can go. When you get busy, patience can go. And then the last one is hiding. Yeah, I just think some guys, come on guys, we've been hiding. And again, maybe we're not even sure why we're hiding. It's like the thing, I don't want to be picked. I'm afraid, I'm embarrassed, I'm scared, I'll just not be good enough. I tell you, come on, God's taking care of all of that. He's not into perfection. He's not into obligation. He's not into any of those things. He says, I love you, I love you, I love you. I've chosen you. I'm after you. I care for you. You are mine. Come on, we're going to pray today. And I want to pray that if you've never chosen God, because he's already chosen you, but if you've never chosen him, then you need to. And he'll take away your sins. He'll give you a brand new start. And suddenly we get to realize the gospel in our lives, where God transforms us in an instant. Spiritually, we become renewed. Our eternal home is not hell, which is eternal damnation, but now our home is heaven, which is eternal bliss and paradise. It's incredible. We get our sins forgiven. We start to live for Christ. We start to recognize on a day-to-day basis we're chosen. And I tell you what, it affects our lives completely. We're transformed completely. And suddenly now we get to bring help and love and care to the people around us. So we're going to pray for this. I want to pray that you would choose him. And as we say yes to Jesus, the word makes it very clear, Romans 10, that he says, if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you would be saved. So we're going to pray for it. Lord, I pray today for anyone that has never chosen you, or maybe has, but have found themselves in the position of, I don't even know where I am right now. Lord, I pray right now we choose you. Come on, if we're far from God, if we've never made a decision to give our lives to Jesus, you're not right with God, then you know the wages of sin are death. And so those have to be paid. Those have to be taken care of. And Jesus has already paid the price on the cross. And so Jesus, I pray for anybody that just needs to say yes to you. Right now you would come, forgive them, take away their sins, clothe them with your righteousness. Pour out your blood, Lord. Your blood is already shared for our sins. Their sins have already been taken care of. And I pray right now for complete transformation in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray today for our men, especially our men being Father's Day, that we would step out from the shadows, that we would step out from the fears and insecurities, that we would step away from the busyness, that we would step away from the things that would cause us to hide or be in the shadows or get consumed with other things. Lord, we're stepping forward because we've been called and chosen by God, and we have a role to play so that other people can realize the same thing and can get to this place of they're chosen and that they make a decision to choose Jesus. Lord, I thank you for our choices today. I thank you for the choices that we have because you have chosen us for us first. There is no gaps in your love. There is no fuzziness. There is no confusion. Lord, if we're feeling that right now, we ask you to take it away in Jesus' name. I ask you, Holy Spirit, you would come and just restore us and redeem us and charge us forward with the good things that you have. Holy Spirit, come and move with your people and move through our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.